Never mind. Let's just get going. All right. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, it says this. We've been talking about relentless faith, living with a relentless faith. And that's a faith that doesn't quit. It doesn't give up. It doesn't matter what the size of the challenge is. It doesn't matter from where the challenge is coming from. We don't quit. We're not quitters. We do not give up. We win. Amen. You will win if you stay in the game. Isn't that a wonderful promise? That if you just stay in faith, you're going to win. You're going to win. There's no question about it. There's no doubt about it. You're going to win if you stay in faith. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know what another word we said was for faith is? It's confidence, right? Well, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 says this, let us hold tightly. Everybody say hold tightly. See, that's a confidence. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his word. God can be trusted. Now, we've looked at that verse, so I'm not going to preach a lot on it. But I wanted to remind you of it. It says, let us hold tightly to that which we can that we affirm. Or another translation, let us hold tightly to our confession of faith. So I will continue to declare the word of God in the face of every trial, in the face of every circumstance, because no circumstance is going to dictate to me what the outcome is going to be. Too many people look at the circumstance and they keep declaring the circumstance and wonder why the circumstance doesn't change. Because you're confessing the circumstance. You're breathing life into the circumstance. But I'm not going to do that. We're not going to do that. The different church people don't do that, do we? That's what I love about our church. We are faith people. We believe in a God that can change things. Right? You know, everybody likes to talk facts over feelings. What about truth over facts? It may be a fact that you're going through this, but the truth is that thing can change.
Yes. Come on, amen. That's right.
Truth can change facts. It may be a fact that you're feeling this sickness in your body. It may be a fact that you're going through these emotional issues. It may be a fact that this is going on. It may be a fact that that's going on. But the truth says, if you will allow me, if you will introduce me to the circumstances, how do we do that? By declaring the word of God out of our mouth. Amen. Declaring what God's word says over the situation. Superimposing the word of God over the circumstances. How many know it takes faith to do that? What do you mean it takes faith? Well, you got to believe that God's word's actually going to do what he said he would do when you're declaring it to see the manifestation. We can't just say, oh, well, the preacher said do this, so I'm just going to give it a shot. Well, giving it a shot, if you have a mentality, I'm going to give it a shot, that is not faith. That's like, I'm going to try it. Let's see if it works. No, there's no question marks on this stuff. You're right, there is no faith in that. Faith is saying, I see what the circumstances are. Now, we're not talking about burying our head in the sand either. We're not talking about denying that there's problems, denying that there's circumstances. Oh, nope, I have no bad circumstances. I would have people come up to me in prayer lines earlier in ministry, and I said, so what, I invited them up there for prayer. So they came up there for prayer. Oh, what can I agree with you? What can we pray for you for? Oh, nothing. I am healed and whole in Jesus' name. What I wanted to say, I didn't say it, but what I wanted to say, and I might would say it today, is then get out of line. If you don't need prayer, these other people are willing to admit that they need prayer, so you might as well go sit down, right? But what they were doing, they got caught up in this, trying to declare that there was no problems. The Bible didn't say declare there is no problems. It says declare the answer in spite of the problems. So we're not denying that we get attacked with things. We're not denying that negative things can happen sometimes. But I do declare that God's word is greater than every circumstance. And it takes faith to make those declarations. Amen. Look down at verse 35. 35, it says this. So do not throw away this confident. What's another word for confidence? Faith. What's another word for faith? Confidence. So he says here in verse 35, he says, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. What? If you do not throw away your great confidence in the Lord, your confident trust in the Lord, it will bring a reward. I don't know about you. You can sit there and be all religious and want to, if you want to, and say, well, I'm not interested in rewards. I think you're a liar personally. I'm interested in rewards. The Bible tells me in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, oh my soul. David's talking to himself. He said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. In other words, what is our soul? It's our mind, our will, our thinking, our intellect, our emotions, our feelings, our emotions. And David is saying, emotions, bless the Lord. Feelings, bless the Lord. Mind, get in gear and bless the Lord. He says, bless the Lord, oh my soul. With everything that is within me, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who crowns your life with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who redeems your life from destruction. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But he says here in verse 35, do not throw away. Well, if he's telling them not to throw away their confident trust, what must be happening? Why is he encouraging them to do something? Because they're starting to do it. That means it's possible to throw away your confident trust in the Lord. And he is encouraging them. Come on, guys. And that's what I say to you guys today. Come on. We're not giving up. We're not quitting. We're not going to stop. We're going to believe God. We're going to see the answer come. We're going to see it manifest. We're not quitters. We're not stopping. We believe God. Amen. That it will be just as he told us in his word. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. A little bit of preach going on here. That's all right. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Uh-oh. That next word, it always seems to trip people up. Patient endurance is what you need now. Patient endurance is what you need now. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, Pastor, I'm believing God, but whoa, 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 whoa. I'm believing God, but? I'm believing God, but? Seriously, that is not faith. When he says patient endurance is what you need now, patient endurance is not just tolerating your way until the time elapses and your promise shows up. Patience is not just waiting. You guys have heard me say it, and I'm going to keep on saying it. Patience is not just waiting. Patience is your attitude while you wait. Notice he said he's not just enduring, but he's patiently enduring. He's enduring with a good attitude. What is that attitude? I don't know. Somebody said, well, you said you believe in God. You're confessing God. You're confessing that this is going to happen for you. You're declaring the word of God over there. What's how come it hadn't shown up? I'm like, that ain't my problem. That ain't my job. See, what we got to do is focus on our job. My job is to believe God. My job is to declare the word of God. God's job is to make it show up. God's job is the one that change. His job is the one that changes the circumstances. I don't have to. Too many times we start trying to do our job and God's job. Then what happens is we get frustrated and we stop doing our job and then we just try to do God's job. So we stop believing. We stop confessing. We're just trying. Then we jump into the natural. And we try to do everything with the arm of the flesh. We try to do everything in the natural. Okay, God ain't doing it the way I want it done, so I'll just get it done myself. You are in big trouble when you think you can do it better and quicker than God. Because you can't. You cannot do it. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. All right. 13 minutes. Okay, wait. Woo-wee. Okay. All right. Watch this. So do not throw away this confident trust you have in the Lord. Remember the great word it bring, the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. After you've patiently endured and you've done the will of God, then, after you've done the will of God, then the promise is going to show up. What is the will of God? To patiently endure. What is the will of God? To have a confident trust in him. See, sometimes you got to be able to say that in the face of crazy adversity. Think about David. Think about David. David goes out. King David, he goes out. He wasn't king yet. He was just a little bitty, ruddy, red-headed kid. I think that's what ruddy means. I don't know. Whatever. That's what I heard. Anyway, so here's little young David. He comes out there, and what happened? The giant saw a boy. King Saul saw a boy. But God says, this is the man I have chosen. See, you got to realize, even if people see you as a boy, is people to see you under your circumstances, trying to limit you by what they see, that doesn't matter, because God don't see the way people see. God sees faith. He said, but PK, that don't make any sense. I know it don't make sense, but it makes faith. Faith don't always make sense. Now, we're not talking about casting out reasoning and casting out, but the Bible does talk about that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, coming against strong ways of reasoning. Some people's reasoning is off the hook crazy in the world. But God says, hey, listen, I got something greater than any of your plans whatsoever. I can do it in ways. God is not limited. See, what we do is we start telling God the many different ways that we think he could probably pull this off. Well, God, you know, if you did this, and if you did that, if you spoke to that person, if you did, you know, and we're telling God all, well, what have we done? We've exposed the finiteness of our minds. We've exposed the limits of our minds to be able to come up with ways to do, but God is an unlimited God. God can do it however he wants to. God is not limited by our ways of thinking. Hallelujah. That's why you got to be careful with the reasoning. We're not talking about getting rid of common sense, but at the same time, if your common sense is stopping you from trusting God for something, then you, because common sense will says, well, Lord, just help the doctors come up with a way to find a solution for me. What if the doctors have said, we have no solutions? We've come to the end of our rope. There's nothing. There was a woman with an issue of blood in the Gospels that came up to find Jesus because she had been suffering with this disease for years, and she had spent all that she had had, and nothing. And the Bible says she did nothing but grew worse, and the doctors had given up hope on her. But she says, I've heard about this man named Jesus. Now, listen to the solution that she came up with. But she didn't come up with it. God gave it to her. She said, if I can just get there, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be well. Okay. Just think about that. That don't make sense. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch that right there, I know I will be well. So see, common sense and faith is not always the same thing. But when God puts something in your heart, like if you can just go touch the hem of his garment, healing power will flow. She didn't say, if I can just touch him. She didn't say, if I can just get in the prayer line, if I can get close enough and get him to spit on me, if I can get him to throw mud at me, if I can just get him to touch me. No, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. God dropped something in her heart that didn't make sense. But she confidently trusted him. And she waited patiently. You know how I know? Because all the way, the Bible says, and all the way there, she kept saying, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. She didn't say, oh, if I can just show him and explain to him how bad this hurts, how long I've had this sickness, how long I've had this disease, how long I've suffered. None of that. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. And what happened? She got there and she crawled her way through the crowd. And I just kind of picture making that one last lunge. Jesus is about to walk out of her reach. And she lunges one last time, touches his garment, and Jesus stops. Says, who touched me? The disciples are like, what do you mean, who touched you? Look at all these people around you. Everybody's touching. Everybody wants to touch you. But what Jesus knew is somebody, not everybody, was touching me with faith. One person touched me expecting something, believing God for something, believing for something. And then he turns around, the woman begins to weep and tells her all this kind of thing. He says, woman, your faith has made you well. Because she believed God for something. And she didn't take no for an answer. She didn't listen to just what the doctor said. The doctors were basically telling her, we've got all your money. You can't afford any more anything. We can't really do anything for you anyway. You're just going to have to die with this. But she dared to believe something different. Amen. That's faith. All right. I got 6 minutes. All right. So I'm just going to tell you what this says. Okay. Psalm 119. I'll flip over there. It'll be up on the screen. I'm going to go. Psalm 119 and verse 28. It says this. It says, I weep with sorrow. Encourage me by your word. I'm going through some stuff. I'm going through some challenges. I'm facing some things, but God, encourage me with your word. Encourage me with your word. The Message translation says it this way, build me up again by your word. Build me up again by your word. Build me up again by your word. See, you're not going to get built up by moaning and groaning about how much you're suffering. You're not going to get built up by moaning and complaining and telling everybody how long you've suffered, how bad it is, and all this kind of stuff. It's not going to do you any good. You might get a few, oh, you poor dear heart. But let me tell you something. There is no faith in, oh, you poor dear hearts. But there is faith in the Word. There is faith in the Word. Matthew chapter 4. I'm just going to tell you some stories here. I ain't got time to read all this stuff. Come on. I'll just go look it up. Here, I'll give you the reference. Write it down. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 30. This is talking where Peter's walking on the water. Jesus sends him out into the boat. He goes up to spend some time in prayer. And then in the middle of the night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, he comes walking on the water because there's this massive storm has come up. And they're, you know, all this. Is that the right story? I always get these two mixed up. Yeah. I got it right. So anyway, he's walking around. There's another one I'm going to tell where he's sleeping in the boat. I always get those two stories mixed up a little bit. But anyways, walking on the water, and here comes, and they're like, oh, it's a ghost, and they're freaking out. And then Peter says, Lord, if it's you, because Jesus said, calm down, it's me. Right? I'm the same guy that was back there on the shore with you, right? It's just me. Right? So here he is. And he says, well, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water. He says, come on, let's go. And so the Bible says that he stepped out of the boat and he was walking on the water. Mm-hmm. Walking on the water. On. Looking at Jesus, walking on the water. How many of you ever walked on the water? Yeah. Come on, quit criticizing Peter so much. Give the man a break, all right? He made a couple mistakes. Got to put his foot in his mouth. But the man was walking on the water. Yeah. The other disciples sitting in the boat, they're probably going, what? What? Instead of going, hey, can we come to you too? I bet you Jesus would have said, come on. We'll just have a revival right here on top of the ocean. Right? But he's walking on the water. But then the Bible says, it goes on to say, but then he began to look at the storm. He began to look at the wind and the waves and how boisterous they were. He began to look at the pain. Right? People began to look at the pain in their body. They begin to look at their circumstances instead of keeping their eyes on Jesus. Here's what I want to point out to you. Peter walked on the water in the middle of the storm. He walked on the water. He wasn't at a revival. They weren't having a great miracle crusade. They were in a boat in the middle of a storm. And Jesus says, come to me. And he stepped out and he walked on the water in the middle of the storm. And what is God saying to you today? He wants you to walk on the water in the middle of your storm. In other words, just keep your eyes on Jesus. And don't get out there a few feet and then start looking at the circumstances. Keep your eyes fixed on. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what the winds are doing. I don't care what the waves are doing. I don't care how big the swells are. It doesn't matter what's coming up. I got my eyes on Jesus. As long as I keep my eyes on Jesus, I know I'm going to be all right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Let's look at this, and then I'll give you the four D's real quick. Let's jump on over to... Hallelujah. Man, let's just go on down to Luke 22. I ain't got time to give you the other one. The other reference was Mark 4, 35 to 40, where Jesus crossing to the other side. He's asleep in the boat. And here, well, let me share this point. Okay, I'll go ahead and share this point. So he's sleeping in the boat. Another storm comes up. They're freaking out and everything. The water's being tossed into the boat. And then they go to Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. No, notice Jesus was at peace. He was sleeping in the boat on a pillow. He was chill. And then so he's sleeping. And Jesus, did you not care that we're going to die? And Jesus gets up and he's annoyed. He speaks to the wind and the storm. It all dies. And they're like, whoa, man, this dude is legit, man. This is a man of God, right? Right. He truly is the Son of God. And Jesus turns around and he says, oh, you, where is your faith? What was he saying? Why did you wake me up? Come on. Why did you wake me up? Man, we just got through healing people, ministering to people. I would just like a little bit of rest. Sleep in the... But this is what he said. He says, where is your faith? Oh, ye? No, he says, why? No, he said, why do you have no faith? In other words, you should have been speaking to that wind and storm just like I did. Now, you got to know, he didn't tell them that because he hadn't already taught them that. They had already seen him do things like this. And he's expecting them to replicate what he does. And he expects us to replicate what he does. To be people of faith. Amen? All right, Luke chapter 22 and 31 and 32. And then I'm going to give you the four D's. Listen to this. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you, to sift each of you like wheat. And this is what the Bible says. This is what the New Living says. Then I'm going to give you what it really means. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, watch this, that your faith should not fail. I got an issue with that. Here's my issue. The Bible says all things are possible to them that believe. I read so many scriptures about faith doing amazing things. And then here's this statement that was mistranslated. Hear me out. He says, I have prayed that your faith would not fail. Let me tell you what it says in the original text. He says, I have prayed that your faith would not be reduced to inactivity. Why do I say that? Listen to, hear me out. And search the scriptures for yourself. That's original Greek. Search it out for yourself. But look at this. Faith can't fail. Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. This is the confidence that we have in him. If you're trying to stand with something that can actually fail, where's the confidence? It's just a mistranslation. But I'm giving you what it says. He says, Jesus said, I have prayed that your faith would not be reduced to inactivity. In other words, he said, I'm praying that you will not stop using your faith. Because as long as you are in faith, the answer will come. Amen. Did you get anything out of that? Yeah. All right, let's talk about the four D's. Happy Father's Day. Here we go. This is not going to take me very long. I'm going to tell you what the scriptures are. I'll tell you what they say. You can go look them up for yourself. But I want to get this to your dads. Being a dad, it takes a lot of faith to do it right. So the four D's, we saw them on the video. I'm going to rearrange them because it helps me preach better. But I'm going to... All right. So let's remember the four D's. Devos, number one. Right? In other words, we got it, dads, we got to get in the Word.
Yeah.
Every day, we got to get in the Word. We got to read some Scripture. We got to build ourselves up with the Word. Why? Because the Word produces faith. The Word grows your faith. The Bible, there's, people pray, somebody asked me one time, hey, what can I pray for you? Hey, can you just pray that I would have more faith? And I said, no, I will not do that. They're like, what do you mean you won't do that? I said, because that's not how faith comes. You don't get faith because somebody prays for you to have more faith. You get faith by getting in the Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. Okay? So come on, dads, we got to get in the Word. That helps us to grow our faith. Joshua 1:8 says to meditate day and night upon the Scriptures that you may observe to do all that is written in them. Then your way will be made prosperous, and then you will have good success. D, number two, dad fuel. Come on, guys, listen. It's in the Scriptures. Pray in the Spirit. You've got in your Word, you've read some Scriptures, that's great. Now you need some dad fuel. The Bible tells us in Jude, it's a book in the Bible, it's one book, verse 20, praying in the Holy Spirit, building yourself up on your most holy faith, keeping yourself in the love of God. So do your devos and get some dad fuel, man. Spend time in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Spend time praying in the Spirit, right? Praying in the Spirit, it's in Romans. It says it's praying the perfect will of God. But it's a language that you don't understand. 1 Corinthians 14, read it. It's all, Paul says, I pray in tongues more than all of you. It's a scriptural thing. Even if you've been taught it's different. I used to be taught that it was of the devil. Until I got in the book and found out, wait a minute. No wonder this is being so attacked. This is legitimately in the Word of God all the way through. Amen? So do your devos, get you some dad fuel. You know, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says this. It says to continually be being filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled every day. You need to spend some time in your devos, and you got to spend some time in the presence of God. Number three, there's my water disappeared on me. Here we go. I never had it up there, so it didn't really disappear. But all right, number three, down blankets. You're probably going, how's he going to connect this one? When I think of down blankets, I think of being comfortable, right? And as dads, we should be speaking words of encouragement and comfort to our family. Speak to our wives. It's okay. No matter what the challenge is, it's okay, honey. God's got this. We're going to believe God. We're going to get in the Word. We're going to find the answer. God's going to bring us out of this. He's going to bring us through this. Maybe it's okay. Talking to your kids. Come on. I know it looks like your grades aren't, but God's going to help you to study. He's going to help you to pass those tests. He's going to help you with those challenges in society. He's going to help you to not be polluted and corrupted by the educational systems trying to pollute you with stuff that you shouldn't even be learning right now.
Amen.
That's all I say about that. Okay. Listen, so speak words of comfort and encouragement to your family. But you know, if you spend time in devos, reading the Word, and you spend time in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit, you're going to have plenty of words to encourage your family with. But if you don't do the first two, you're not going to have any. You're going to be looking at the circumstances like everybody else. And the Bible wants us to be different. Amen? So we got devos, we got dad fuel, we got down blankets. What is that? Down blankets. It's your opportunity to release your faith. The first one, devos, grows your faith. The second one, spending time praying in the Spirit, strengthens your faith. The third one, down blankets, speaking words of encouragement, it releases your faith. It gives you an opportunity to what you learned in the devos and what you picked up with the praying in the Holy Spirit. And now you've got an opportunity to release faith into your children, faith into your wife, faith into whatever's messing with you. Amen? So we release our faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, it comes from something. It's a quote from what King David, he said, we believed, therefore we speak. If you believe what you read in the devos, if you believe what you picked up praying in the Spirit, then start declaring those things. It's always going to be things of faith. We're gonna do this. We can overcome this. No matter what. If your wife needs prayer, pray for and believe God for healing to manifest. What if your kids need something? Pray for them and believe God to show up on the scene to help them with whatever they need.
Amen.
Are you with me, dads?
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. Try that one more time. Are you with me, dads?
Yeah.
All right. We got a lot of dads that aren't here today. but we do have a few. Okay. And the last one is donuts. When I think of donuts, I think of, that's just something you get, like, Heather will call me, like, on a Saturday morning. So what would you like? You want, because she's out walking the dog, she's like, do you want, like, sausage and biscuits? Biscuits and gravy? Well, and then some, or would you like donuts? And I'm thinking, you know, when I think of donuts, I think of, that's kind of a fun food. So it makes, the Lord reminded me, he said, it's so important for us as dads to do something fun. Listen to me, not just with your family, but you need to do something that energizes you, that's going to put life into you so you can be that blessing to your family. Right? God wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2, that's what he told Abraham. He said, get out away from your father's house, go to a land I'm going to show you. I am going to bless you so much, and you are going to be able to be a blessing. Right? So let's do the four D's. Devos, we're going to get in the Word, we're going to grow in our faith. Dad fuel, we're going to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, which strengthens our faith. This is all scriptural. Many scriptures, not just one or two. Down blanket, we're going to speak words of comfort and encouragement to our family. We're going to release our faith into our family. By the way, that's going to help them. And number four, donuts. We're going to have fun. We're going to be a blessing to our family. What is that? That's sharing our faith with them. Sharing our faith with them. As we have fun together, we're sharing. We're enjoying the life that faith has brought us together. Amen? That help anybody? Stand up on your feet. I'm done.